Music Theater Works has brought the popular musical Pippin to the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie. Explaining the plot of Pippin is about as useful as trying to recall and interpret the details of a dream. What happened is not exactly clear, but the fact that your brain was trying to help you organize your thoughts and work through your anxiety is what's important. This is Reno Lovison, executive producer at Chicago Broadcasting Network and theater reviewer for Chicago Theater and Arts, where you can read this review if you prefer not to listen. For context, I'll tell you that the character of Pippin is played by Connor Rippiger. As the play begins, Pippin has recently completed his education with honors at a fine school in Italy, and he's the eldest son of Charlemagne, yes, the one from 780 AD or thereabouts. The boy Pippin is anxious to start his life and make his way in the world, but in his way are the somewhat comic duo of his stepmother Fastrada and stepbrother Louis, who feel that if they can rid themselves of Pippin, Louis can advance to the position of first heir to the throne. Though Louis is purported to be a better warrior, Pippin sets out to prove himself in battle, where he learns that war is not all pomp and glory, but instead a deadly and dirty business. Pippin's larger-than-life grandmother, Bertie, encourages the lad to enjoy life and frankly have more sex, which he tries, but his varied experiences bring him little pleasure and take him no closer to a fulfilling life. An exhausted Pippin falls into the arms of wealthy widow Catherine, who has a small boy, Theo. But again, the promise of a quiet and distracting domestic life is no more fulfilling to the restless youth. Ultimately, Pippin finds himself back in the palace of Charlemagne, where he becomes king after the untimely death of his father. Saddened by the injustices of the world around him, Pippin attempts to right some of the wrongs he sees, but learns that the problems are more complex than they appear on the surface. The entire phantasmagoric experience is orchestrated and narrated by a character known as the leading player, performed by Sonia Goldberg, who promises us a finale that we will never forget. It's important to note that this musical tale of Pippin has nothing whatsoever to do with the actual life of Charlemagne, and in fact this production has no visual references to the historic time period, but on the contrary includes electronic games, television reports, moving pictures, and assorted video images displayed on large screens that mimic the kinds of fragments you might remember from a dream. Dramaturg Nathan Lamp alludes to a number of events from the 1980s and 90s that inform and are reflected within the play, which may be true. You can find his liner notes in the program or online and see what you think. Pippin was co-written and originally directed and choreographed by Chicago native Bob Fosse in 1972, who was at the very epicenter of his highly successful and frenetic career and possibly the pinnacle of his drug addiction that at least partly explains this bizarre tale of young Pippin's quest for meaning in his life. If you've seen the TV Fosse Verdon series or have knowledge of Fosse from somewhere else, you'll see that Fosse's fingerprints, or dare I say footprints, are all over this psychedelic fever dream that keeps the dancers swarming as a packed group on and off the stage with bent knees, then exploding into motions that range from belly crawls and split to grand jetés and muscular lifts. Co-choreographers Molly Ann Nunn and Caitlin Pasquinelli got all they demanded from their talented company, who kept the nonstop action energetic and entertaining throughout the demanding performance. Director Kyle A. Dugan with assistant director Patrick Tierney did an expert job of wrangling this rather large cast of about 20 players on and around the rather limited area of the more intimate North Theater stage in the Skokie complex. This production is a feast for the senses that makes use of the entire spectrum of theater craft. Shane Sinal supplied a much-needed multi-level set design that provided additional room for movement, including some clever areas to make unusual entrances and exits, as well as store props and fixtures. The lighting effects of Andrew Myers were key components of several scenes. Jasmine Aurora Medina's colorful and eclectic assortment of risque and fantastical costumes added to the fragmented and chaotic action. This was thoughtfully and dramatically augmented by the hair, wig, and makeup of Alice Salazar. Many of the characters, notably Pippin and the leading actor, are gloved, which is no doubt a nod to Fosse's iconic jazz hands and his desire to accentuate hand movement as part of dance. I'm not sure if Charlemagne's stole of toys sealed in plastic draped around his neck and his agglutinated plastic toy festooned crown are the work of Medina or props designer Ellen Marcus, but either way, they added a subtle brilliance of detail to the array of often absurd imagery. The music and lyrics of Stephen Schwartz, who also gave us the highly acclaimed Wicked, is of the highest caliber. Schwartz almost simultaneously wrote Godspell, and the stylistic similarities between the two musicals is difficult to miss. But there's no one breakout number in Pippin that's similar to the success of Godspell's Day by Day, with the exception of maybe Corner of the Sky that was covered by the Jackson 5 and made it to number 18 on the Billboard chart and number 45 of Michael Jackson's all-time top 50. Music Theater Works is known for musical excellence, and they do not disappoint us in this production. Conor Ripperger's Pippin has a longing, boyish quality, which is spot on, while Goldberg's voice has the much-needed commanding stage presence that lets you know she's in charge. Chorus master Sasha Gerritsen kept the choral numbers sharp. The ensemble chord in Morning Glow at the end of Act 1 was perfection. There's a tendency to take the orchestra for granted in musical theater, as our attention is on the actors. But the limited ensemble of union musicians, led by conductor Justin Akira Kono, did an outstanding job. On the surface, Pippin seems weird and fragmented, but the Tony Award-winning musical, in retrospect, at least in my mind, is deeply reflective of the competitive and often tormented mind of Fosse, and in a larger context, the reflection of us all as we strive to live more meaningful lives. My initial response was to characterize Pippin as the Fantastics meets Godspell, and as I complete this review, I feel this brief description is not far off. I highly recommend Pippin by Music Theater Works at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie through June 25, 2023. Running time is 2.5 hours with 1 15-minute intermission. For tickets and information, visit musictheaterworks.com or call the box office at 847-673-6300. Though the production has an overall comedic tone, it contains adult themes and language, as well as allusions to sexual activity, murder, and suicide, which may not be appropriate for everyone. It's awkward and sometimes confusing to mention the names of all of the cast members during a podcast, so I'll include a full cast list on our website at chicagobroadcastingnetwork.com. If you're interested in making music of your own, consider piano lessons at the Lakeshore Music Studio in Chicago's Gold Coast Old Town Lincoln Park area. Visit lakeshoremusicstudio.com. As always, if you need production assistance with your podcast or video for your business or organization, check out renoweb.net. If you're a regular podcast listener, be sure to like and share our podcast and consider listening to Growing Older with Gusto to hear about older people who are living their best life. This is Reno Lovison, executive producer at chicagobroadcastingnetwork.com.
I've got to be where my spirit can run free. Gotta find my corner of the sky.